you think your argument is ridiculous? I am, you know, Mr. Pereira's counsel, I'm sure, was laughed out of immigration court, laughed out of the BIA, laughed out of the circuit. Well, actually, he wasn't laughed out of the circuit court. I think he lost. Okay, so laughed out of the circuit court. And then the Supreme Court said, hey, no, you are right. You are right. An NTA, what an NTA is defined as, it means that it has to state all these things. It has to state certain things that are in that NTA. And if you don't have all those certain things, it is not an NTA under the Act. And therefore, that thing that is not an NTA under the Act doesn't do anything to the stop time rule, because the stop time rule references a notice to appear as defined under the Act. But that still wasn't enough, right? That still, you know, the BIA and some of our circuit courts were more than happy to oblige continuing arguments that what the Supreme Court said was not actually what they meant, that an NTA needs to contain all these things, and came up with the argument that, well, these multiple documents, this defective NTA plus this notice of hearing from the immigration court put together, that means a stop time rule, right? So what is it? The date of the hearing notice is now going to be what stops the time. That go now, and then the attorney, even though the rest of us said, oh, dang, you know, what a bummer. The attorney for Mr. Nice Chavez said, no, that's not, we actually all said that's nonsense, but still, that's nonsense. What the Supreme Court meant what they said. An NTA is not an NTA if it doesn't contain everything that the Act dictates it must contain. It doesn't. You can't have the Department of Justice step in and help the prosecution by giving them a notice of hearing that cures the defectiveness. That's not what the Supreme Court meant.
We're talking about two separate agencies.
Two separate agencies, two separate documents. So when Nice Chavez gets all the way up, you know, Mr. Nice Chavez's counsel got laughed out of immigration court, got laughed out of the Board of Immigration Appeals, got laughed out of the circuit court, and then the Supreme Court said, you know what? You're right. We did mean what we say. We meant one document. You can't use two documents, much less a document from another agency. And so that's where we are with Nice Chavez. Nice Chavez said once and for all, no, that does not mean that the two separate document theory will stop the time. It's one document, and if that one document isn't complete, it does not stop the time. Is that good enough?
That's good.
Okay. So now, it only helps with the stop time rule. The whole issue of whether it even has enough jurisdiction to initiate, I mean, if a defective NTA can even initiate jurisdiction, the immigration court's jurisdiction over a respondent is another issue that's trickling up.
So from a practical perspective, what are you guys doing? How are you figuring out whether or not you've got old cases that perhaps might, are you, if you happen to run across an old NTA, are you doing a file review to look at your old NTAs?
I did not take a look at this slide, but you know, so for example, on in absentia cases, there's that decision that came out, I don't know, last month.
Yeah,
great case, great case, which essentially says, you know, the manner in which the Supreme Court interpreted 239A applies to the in absentia provision. And so that means that if you have cases of people with in absentia orders that where there was no date and time, those are invalid and are subject to reopening.
And that's really important, because that means, so if in, you know, the NTA, that information, and the Supreme Court said in Nice Chavez, that information is in there for a purpose.
Yeah.
It is a rule that benefits the respondent, and it's in there for a purpose to let them know when their hearing is. And it is easy to apply that in a scenario with an absentia, because you're arguing no notice.
That's right.
And so when you have an NTA that does not give the respondent notice, it is not an NTA for the purposes of the act. How practically am I looking at that? Literally going through each
case,
file on a Saturday morning or on a Saturday afternoon with
but some cases
and looking
you may
them.
Not want to say anything, right?
Some cases you may want to take that to your grave.
Right? Why? Because you need your client to be earning that time.
So if you have an in absentia case, you know it's you're going to do a motion to reopen. The time is going to run. How much time do you have to file that motion?
None, not for an in absentia motion.
Yeah, there's no tolling of the time for an absentia motion.
So when you file your motion to reopen, you're going to get, you're assuming the judge is going to reopen.
Yes.
And then you're going to get a notice, and that's going to stop your time.
Nope, that doesn't. Ms. Chavez says that second notice doesn't.
Well, they have to. They have to serve a new NTA.
Yeah.
So does the case reopen or does it not reopen because your proceedings
happen.
Are triggered by the filing of an NTA,
right.
But your original NTA was not filed now?
Procedurally, what should happen is that in an in absentia case, the case would be reopened and the court would have to terminate because there's no valid NTA.
Mm-hmm. So that's my question. So are we going to get a termination order?
So I doubt it. So what I'm doing is this is a good way to use the to use in your PD request, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reopen.